We're going to do things just a little bit different this morning. If you would, go ahead and have a seat. And I'm going to ask Wayne King to come forward. And Wayne, if you would, just stand right over here for a second. One thing that God's really been dealing with me about is our offerings. And I'll explain that here in just a moment. But we preached on tithing many, 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 many times. We all know that we're supposed to give. But God's been dealing with me that it goes a whole lot further than just throwing money in the plate. Let me give you an example of that. I want to tell you folks some things about Wayne that you may not know, okay? Wayne is a very wealthy man. He is a multi-millionaire. Multi-millionaire. Money is no problem to him at all, okay?
I didn't know it either.
You didn't know it either? But on top of that, your wife is really happy about that. On top of that, he's also got a very generous, compassionate, loving heart. He cares about people. He wants to take care of people. He wants to help people out. And out of the goodness of his heart, Wayne loaned me $10 a while back. Now, $10 to a multimillionaire is what? Like 2 or 3 cents to you and me, maybe even less. So $10 he's not going to miss, right? But I still owe it to him. Here's the way most of us pay our tithes. I owe you $10. Folks, that's not at all. Thank you. That's not at all how we should do this. Our tithe is a worship, an act of worship to God.
Amen.
The Bible says, "To whom or whoever honors me, I will honor." God's talking about that. So let me show you the difference in what I just did and what we ought to do. Wayne, man, I realize you didn't have to loan me this. You didn't have to care for me. I appreciate your generosity, your loving kindness, your generosity, and your compassion for me. I don't take this money for granted. I know to you that it's nothing, but to me it meant everything in the world. Please take it back with my gratitude. Boy, isn't that a difference?
Amen.
No, I'll take it back. All right, thank you, sir. So, folks, and God's really been dealing with me about that, and we're going to be talking about that off and on from time to time. Because it says that we are to honor Him and to worship Him. And I've never done this before, but I kind of shared this with the deacons in our meeting the other night. And I'm not telling you what you have to do, but I am telling you this is a really good suggestion. From now on, Diane and I are going to take our tithe check at home, and we're going to pray over it, and we're going to thank God for His goodness, His kindness, His mercy, for His provision. And we're not going to take it lightly. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Don't just hurriedly write your checks out on Sunday morning. Make it an act of worship. Now, folks, we all know that we're in very tough economic times right now. We need God's provision and His hand on our lives more than we ever have before. And before I get into what God has laid upon my heart today, let's pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You for the salvation that You brought to us. And Father, I thank You that there's so much more to that than just saving us from a devil's hell. Most of the time, that's all that we see. But Father, when we study Your Word, You have made so many promises to us, Your children. You love us much, much more than we could ever love our own children. You love us, Father, beyond our comprehension of what love is. And I just pray that this morning, Father, that You would continue to feed us, continue to give me the words that You would have me to speak, that You would lead us, Father, and help us to share exactly and precisely what we need to hear in this day and in this hour. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said earlier, I preached on tithing several times since I've been here. We all know the importance of tithing. We all know what God's Word has to say about that, and we're going to be looking at that a little bit deeper here in just a second. But folks, in these hard economic times, don't you dare quit tithing. Don't you dare quit tithing. That's like saying, well, it's going to be a hard summer, let's eat our corn seed. You're not going to have any corn when it comes harvest time if you do. You cannot eat your seed or throw your seed away and expect a harvest. You cannot quit giving back to God, which is rightfully His. He said, you cannot rob from me and expect to be blessed. During these times, we need God's hand upon us. We need God's provision upon us more than we normally do. And tell you what Diane and I have done, and again, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just telling you what God has instructed me to do. We're giving more than we normally give. Because I understand I need a harvest from God more than I need it normally. I need God's hand upon me more than I normally do. And so I'm giving more, expecting more. And God says, when you sow abundantly, you what? You reap abundantly. Amen. And during these times, I need an abundant harvest. You need an abundant harvest. You may say, well, I've already got more than I can handle. Folks, there's people out there we can help. If we don't have it, we can't give it to them. We cannot help them. And there are folks out there that need our help. And God, let me make sure I word this the way I want to. God is not affected by our economic hard times. God's kingdom never runs short of finances. God's kingdom never runs short on provision. He doesn't care what the stock market did. He does not care. He doesn't care. He really doesn't even care if you just lost your job. That doesn't affect His ability to provide for you in the first place, because your job was not your source in the first place. God is your source. If you're looking to that job, you're in big trouble. Jobs can come to an end. In fact, in our day and age, entire industries disappear. Anybody here still have a record player in your house? No, that industry's completely gone. How about 8-track tape that you use on a regular basis? That industry's completely gone, isn't it? Our provision comes from God. During these hard times, we need to quit looking at the Dow Jones. I heard somebody say something the other day, and I know what they meant, but when they said it, I thought that's the stupidest remark I've ever heard in my life. They said, I'm playing the Dow Jones. And I wanted to say back to them, and they're not a strong Christian, so I didn't say this, but I wanted to say, well, I'm not playing. I'm putting my money where it's sure. I'm putting mine in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He says, I will give you a return. The Dow Jones, you can put money in there right now, and you don't know if you're going to get it back or lose it, or you don't know. But in God's Word, He says, if you'll give, it shall be given back to you. Not just given back to you, but pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, let me read some scriptures to you. And I found these scriptures to be fascinating. And I have read these before. And if you want to turn over there with me, I'm going to be reading out of Genesis chapter 26. And I hope this is an encouragement to you. Like I said, God has really been dealing with me for a couple of weeks on this. And about the way we give our tithes and the way we give our offerings. And some people say, well, God's not interested in money. He's not concerned about money. Well, you can't read the Bible and prove that to me. More of the parables that Jesus told were about money than anything else. And He tells us He wants us to have so that we can fulfill every good work. Not just most of them. He wants us to have sufficient enough to fulfill every good work. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to be stopping a little bit as I go down through here and just pointing some things out. It says, and there was a famine in the land. Let's stop right there. You know what a famine is? A famine is economically hard times. A famine is a recession or a depression. A famine can be just in your own life. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe something happened to your job. You got laid off or cut back or whatever. A famine means there's not enough money or not enough resources to go around. It says, and there was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now let me stop right there. It talked about the famine of Abraham in Abraham's day. When Abraham was alive and that famine hit, he went to Egypt to avoid the famine. But verse 2, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Isaac and said, Go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." So in the rational mind, it would have made sense for Isaac to have gone to Egypt as well to have avoided the famine. But folks, what we need to do as Christians, as children of God, we need to listen to God. Don't use your logic. Don't use your rationale. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, "Well, I'm getting ready to change jobs because it makes sense." I said, "Have you prayed about it?" "Well, no, but it makes sense." I said, "God doesn't always make sense." So He can have you where you are for some very specific reasons. And I said, "I'm not telling you that God doesn't want you to change jobs, but I am telling you, you better pray about it to make sure you're where God wants you." So we've got to listen to God. Verse 3, God continues to talk to Isaac, and He says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee." When we listen to God and when we obey God, He is going to be with us regardless. There was a famine going on in the land, but God said, "I don't care about the famine. I'll be with you. And will bless you." So He's not only going to be with him, but He's going to bless him. "For unto thee and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." If He were talking to us today, He'd say, "I'll be with you, I'll bless you, and I'll fulfill every promise in my word to you." Because that's what that was. That was an oath to Abraham. This is an oath from God to us. Verse 4. Now remember, we're in a famine here. He says, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice." Again, there's that obedience. "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Folks, we've got to do that. We've got to be committed to do that. And if you don't know what's in the book, you can't keep it. So we've got to study it. Now skip down with me to verse 12. Verse 12 picks up and says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land during the famine." You're right, I added the words "during the famine," but it's still during the famine. Isaac sowed in that land during the famine and received in the same year 100-fold during the famine, and the Lord blessed him. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. God doesn't care about the famine. He cares about His obedient children. If Isaac had gone to Egypt, God's blessings would have been off of him because he was not obedient. God specifically told him to stay right here, and I'll bless you, and I'll take care of you. And right here we see that Isaac sowed in that land during the famine and received in the same year 100-fold. And folks, nobody else during that time was receiving anything. But Isaac received 100-fold, and it said, "And the Lord blessed him." And in 13 it says, "And the man waxed great." In other words, he grew in his wealth. And he went forward and grew until he became very great. Very great. How great did he become? Verse 14 tells us, "For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him." God blessed this man so much that the heathens envied him. Now, I'm not going to tell you that God's going to make you a multimillionaire. That's only for Wayne. But I will tell you this much. If you do what God tells you to do, He will take care of you. Even if He has to drop the food out of the sky to you, He'll take care of you. He did that for the children of Israel. He did that for I forget which prophet it was now, that he sent the ravens to feed. No matter what he has to do.
Elijah.
It was Elijah, wasn't it? No matter what God has to do, He will take care of you. If He doesn't, He's lying. And God cannot lie. Folks, we have to do what God told us to do and then rely upon Him. And quit saying things like, this economy scares me to death. That's not a statement of faith.
Amen.
That is not a statement of faith. We may look at the economy, but we need to say, my God said He shall supply all of my needs according to His riches, not according to the Dow Jones.
Amen.
Not according to what's going on in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
God never mentions Earth's economy as far as affecting Him. Never, never, ever. And we shouldn't either. Because when we do that, we are making a statement of doubt and not of faith. And during these times, we need to make sure that we're placing our faith solidly in the Lord Jesus. We do that two ways. Actually, more than two, but I'll give you two. Number one, by being obedient to His Word and tithing and giving like He tells us to. And by watching the words of our mouth. Again, don't say this economy scares me. This economy doesn't scare me one bit. Is it horrible? Yes, it's horrible. But my God's much greater than this economy. Much greater than this economy. It aggravates me when I hear Christians worried about the economy, because worry is an act of doubt and unbelief. We're saying, God, I don't know if you can handle this one or not. Well, He can handle it, okay? God meeting your needs and my needs is kind of like Wayne, the multimillionaire Wayne, loaning me $10. He's not going to miss it at all. And God has a covenant with us. He says, in fact, let me just share some of the things with you. He says, if you will tithe, I will, that's a promise, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. He says, if you will give, I will meet your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Never mentions the Dow Jones or the stock market or the banks or anything else in there. God also showed me this, or I say showed me, reminded me this last week. If you'll remember back when we studied Genesis, you'll remember this as well. That when the plagues came upon Egypt, the Hebrew children, the nation of Israel, was not affected. Remember when the darkness came upon the land and it was so dark nobody could even move? It said, well, over in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were, there was light. When all the plagues came upon Egypt, they didn't come upon the nation of Israel. Folks, God can and will protect us and supply our needs if we're obedient. And when you read the Bible, the only time the nation of Israel, the Hebrew nation, ever got in trouble was when they were disobedient and when they were in unbelief. How did they get thrown into captivity in the first place? Through unbelief. Through disobedience. Well, if we're in unbelief and disobedience, we're going to become captive to the world's economic society. But if we're in belief, and if we're being obedient, God says, I will take care of you. He didn't say we would not go through hard times. But He said, I will meet your needs. I will take care of you. And we've got to believe that. My whole point to this message is that we have got to stay true to God. And we have got to keep our eyes upon God during these hard times.
Amen.
The harder things get in your life, the more you ought to be in God's Word to see what He says about it. To see how He promises to take care of you and all of the promises that He makes to you. Even if somebody's out to get you. And as I'm standing here, God's just flooding me with thing after thing after thing. Even if somebody's out to get you, God can take care of you. Remember Joseph? His brothers hated him. His brothers sold him into slavery. You would think, well, Here's a slave in a foreign land. God possibly can't help him. Well, God poured out his blessing upon Joseph so much that even the people that Joseph worked for as a slave became blessed. God's blessings were upon the house of Potiphar because of Joseph. Even when Joseph got thrown in prison, guess what? The warden of the prison and the whole prison was blessed. Joseph stayed true to God, and God brought Joseph out of that and made him in charge of the entire nation's food supply. God took care of Joseph. God also took care of a man by the name of Jacob. If you remember, Jacob and his father-in-law didn't get along very well. His father-in-law lied to him on several different occasions, tried to deceive him. And the father-in-law came to Jacob and made a deal with him, and I don't remember the exact details, but he said, the certain kind of calves that are born are going to be mine. And that was the kind that was usually the most abundant. And he said, Jacob, you can have whatever's left. Well, God turned it around to where most of the calves being born was Jacob's kind and not the father-in-law's. And the father-in-law thought, well, I know how to take care of this. So he went to Jacob and said, we're turning this agreement around. I, from now on, get to keep the kind of calves you've been keeping, and you get to keep the other kind. Guess what God did? Turned it around to where the calves started having Jacob's kind over here. So, folks, even if people are out to try to destroy us and out to get us, it doesn't matter as long as we stay true to God. We've got to trust God. He is well able to take care of us. Well able to take care of us. If we're out in the desert, and if there's a famine, that doesn't matter as far as God's concerned, as long as we're being obedient. He will take care of us. He has to, because he said he would, and he cannot lie. Now, going back to the tithe, as I get ready to wrap this up, we have to be obedient in the area of finances. We have to be obedient in our finances. If you're not tithing, if you're not worshipfully giving God his 10%, if you are not respecting God and honoring him with his 10%, he said, you're stealing from me, and I cannot bless a thief. During these hard times, you cannot afford not to tithe. And I, like I said, I even encourage you to pray and ask God, God, do you want me to even give more than I normally do? If he says no, 10% is fine, then that's all you need to do. But if he lays it upon your heart and says, yes, you do need to give more, ask him how much more. And it may be a strange amount. If I told you the dollar amount God instructed us to give, you'd like, why that amount? I don't know. It's not a round number. And when God told me this number, I'm like, God, that doesn't make sense. He said, it doesn't have to make sense. You just have to obey. But folks, during these hard, difficult times, we've got to have God. But to have God, we've got to be obedient. Amen. To his word. If we're not obedient to his word, we're putting our hands in the world's system. I don't know about you, but I trust God a jillion times more than I do this world system. Don't trust this world system whatsoever. But I do completely, totally trust my God. There's a verse over in Psalms 91 that I love. It says, he is my God in whom I completely and totally trust and rely. And that's where I am. That's where I am. Tell you how much I trust him. I got to thinking about this morning. Diane and I are in a unique situation, if you want to call it that. All of our income, from the world's view, is reliant upon the church and the people in the church giving. If you stop giving, you may say, well, Brother Greg's needs aren't going to be met. And if all the churches quit giving, of course, Diana works at the state Free Will Baptist office. Everybody say, well, if there's no money coming in, you know, she might lose her job. But, and I say this as respectfully as I know how, but this church and the Arkansas Free Will Baptist churches are not our source of income. God is our source. We're standing on God's word, relying on God to meet our needs. And right now, He has chosen to do that through this congregation and for Diana, all of the congregations in the state. But folks, those are not definite either. There's a lot of churches that, for one reason or another, have not been able to continue to pay their pastors. And I understand that you're not my source. I love each and every one of you folks. But I also understand where my source is. And that's in God. You need to understand where your source is. I don't care what your occupation is. It could be God tomorrow. But God never changes. God never changes. He's just as sure today as He was in Abraham's day and Isaac's day and Jacob's day. And His word and His promises are really even better today than they were then. Because He tells us we have a better covenant based upon a better sacrifice. So folks, let me encourage you to do this. Quit watching the news. Somebody was telling me about a huge flood up north earlier today. I didn't see it. And I have pity on those people. I don't want to say that I don't. As far as the economic news, I don't watch it. I don't need to know what it's doing. I need to know what my God is doing. We get so focused on the problem, we forget to look at the solution. As long as I stay true to my Father and spend time in His Word and do what He tells me to, it's going to be okay. Even if there's a famine in the land, He can choose to give me a hundredfold harvest. No matter what the economy is. Even if He doesn't do that, He will meet my needs. Amen. He will meet my needs. He'll meet your needs. And folks, I don't know who this is for today. But like I said, God has burned this into my heart for two solitary weeks. Somebody here today needs to really put your trust in God. Amen. Not your job. Not the stock market. You may lose everything you have in the stock market. I like what Sam Walton said one time. And I know Sam wasn't perfect, but I think he was a pretty godly man. Somebody said, what if you lose it all? He said, I'll be back to where I started. It's only money. It's only money. But even if we do lose it all, we've still got our Father and His promises. So let's find out what He says. We're in a famine, and we need to know what God says to His people in a time of famine. I'm going to ask Marlene and Bill, if they would, to come with a song of invitation. Ask you to stand with us. Father, I come before You. And I thank You that You love us so much. That You promise to take care of us no matter what the economic situations are. You've given us multiple examples in Your Word. You've told us exactly, step by step by step, how to be obedient, how to listen to Your voice, and how to do the things that You've told us to do, and that You will meet our needs. And Father, somebody here today is putting way too much emphasis on the economy. Whoever that is, Father, I don't know, but I do know that You know. I just pray that You would gently take their head and turn their focus away from the economy and help them to focus upon You, their loving Heavenly Father. Father, help us to be obedient in every area of our life, that You can bless us the way that You want to bless us and the way that You want to meet our needs. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.